Okay, let's all stand, please. Okay, just turn around, greet somebody next to you. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We pray for the conference coming up. We pray for Pastor Shibeli in a special way, for his health, the quickening he needs, the burden these men carry in their hearts, recognizing the stewardship given to them, traveling all over the world, instructing, edifying, challenging, admonishing, building up. And we just pray that you would really pour out your spirit upon them every time they speak, Father, and we would be really blessed, eternally blessed by their portion. Take away any root of familiarity from us in relationship to hearing your word, God. We sense your word as power, but you have also called us to hear it in a way that profits us. Thank you for the calling to our local church, a ministry like this that preaches and teaches the word, body life, fellowship, vision, discipleship, missions. And dear God, we just pray that we would discern the spiritual heritage that has been passed down to us, and we would consider ourselves very privileged as your people in this day and age to be light bearers, God. We pray that you would put a hedge around these men, Lord, their families, and also the different demonic attacks that come toward them, that to discourage them. But we just pray that you would cause them to triumph over it. Yes, Lord, we worship you, we thank you, we glorify your name. Raise us up, God, as your people, as your servants, as your disciples. Bring in a spirit of contriteness in our hearts, but also joy unspeakable. Thank you that you have given us an eternal purpose. We are not just surviving here for the sake of it, coming to church because we have nothing else to do. No, we are here because of a divine appointment. Your Spirit has called us, and that's why we are here this morning. Teach us to concentrate on your word today, even as our pastor speaks. Teach us to mix faith with what we hear and breathe your inspiration into us, and wisdom in the innermost parts, God, we pray. Understanding that we need as your people. And bless us together, God, as a body. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Okay. We have our messages that are spoken here on the archives. On the archives, in the Raj Bhavan in New Delhi. And we meet here on a Wednesday night at 7:15, a Sunday evening at 6:30, and a Sunday morning at 10 a.m. three times a week corporately as a body. In the evening on Sundays, we listen to the messages of Baltimore. When it's live, we play it live. When the time shifts, then we play the recorded message. Simultaneously, there is a service going on in Koramangala with Pastor Anil, Christopher, and the rest of the team that goes there. And a similar one will happen in Jayanagar and Whitefield, and it will all happen. But we are also interested in sending missionaries outside. If you recognize that there is a seal that is placed upon your back or somewhere as you go home, that means that you have been spotted by the Lord. There are a few people in our church that have seals. It will be marking a few people in the church. It's good to also have Leo and Sheetal with us. They have moved down from Pune to be in Bangalore. They don't know who you are, so stand up so they can see you. Okay, so so they'll be here for a season with us. And so edify, build them up. Don't ask them too many questions. He will speak to you in an unknown tongue. Turn to John chapter 17 this morning. I want you to, this morning, as we enter into different themes, and these themes are spoken during the week. We have a Bible college here, Monday to Friday, 7 to 10 in the morning, 5 days a week, where people come by faith. They take classes. They learn the word, they hide it in their hearts, their lives are transformed. We make decisions in faith. It's important, it's interesting. I want you to, you're in John 17, are you? Okay. This is something that we thought about and we spoke about as we are teaching the Old Testament prophetical books, but this is it. In the book of Leviticus, in the 11th chapter, in verses 45 and 19:2 of the book of Leviticus, in 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, God in His nature is holy. By His very nature, He has declared Himself to be holy. This is the foundation on which all our lives can be built. In order for us to be built upon that foundation, we must share in the essence or nature of that foundation. Therefore, there are certain ingredients that don't mix together. For example, iron and clay don't mix together. So in the book of Daniel, in the 7th chapter, there will be a form of government in the end times. There will be a coalition of nations. And these nations will have one mind. They will have one mind. But they are formed of iron and clay. They are one mind in terms of they will come against Israel, God's nation, because they have a unity that is rooted in iniquity. But they don't have a unity that is derived from the foundation of God's essence, which is that He is holy. Are you awake? Remember, if we don't receive instruction, we will be admitted to an institution. There are many people today that have not received instruction that have been in, that are into institutions of some kind, because they have not made a decision to have their ears in Job 31 sealed with instruction. Many of us have a red letter Bible edition, correct? Now red is in the Bible, I mean in the world, a stop signal, and yet to some it is green. When the police stops them, the police salutes them for having violated the law. So the police said, you jumped a red signal. The person says, when I went through it, it just turned yellow. When you caught me, it turned red. Huh? And there's an argument right in the middle there, and traffic is jammed. And yeah. When that which is confronted with, or that which is brought through in the light of holiness, there would be no need for God to discuss. There will be no need for God to debate. There will be no need for God to argue. There are certain things that become evident as a result. There are certain things that become evident as a result of being brought into its presence. The decisions that we will make in our lives as people are on the basis of the verdict that is passed as a result of me being brought into God's presence. Is that clear? One of the most important things for us is to recognize the absolute transcendent holiness of God. From the standpoint of allowing God to set us apart in our affections, to set us apart in our affections, not just having set us apart in our relationship with Him. In 1 Corinthians 1:2, 1 Corinthians 1:30, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, we were set apart unto God as a result of believing on His Son, Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is the only one that is the giver of eternal life. In John chapter 10, 29, John chapter 3, 16, John 6:63. The Father gives that life, the Son gives that life, and the Holy Spirit gives that life. All three give life. The believer is in possession of that life. Eternally, he will be in the presence of God when he dies. But he also has a quality of that life as he lives. If that life is transcendent in nature to the point that it is separated from everything that is, you can say, unholy, then the person that possesses that life on the earth is also in one sense positionally separated from all that is unholy, even though he may not understand the totality of what that is, that what God wants him to be separated from. But once he begins to understand the nature and character of God through the Word of God, then he begins to start walking in such a way so that he is now guarding his life so that his affections are set apart by God. In John chapter 17, in chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, Jesus is praying for himself. This is a conversation, prayer that he's having with his Father. Many scholars are of the opinion that it is quite possible that Jesus spoke audibly so that those disciples that he was with were hearing what he has to say. And although we believe that the Holy Spirit has inspired John to write this prayer, the inner circle possibly was involved, we were close to him. And so in John 17, 1 to 5, he's speaking, he's praying for himself. From 6 to verse 19, he's speaking, he's praying for his disciples. But in 17, 20 onwards, he's praying for all those that will believe through them. Okay, but I want you to look at something that is important here for us today. In John chapter 17, verse 6, there are four important words that I want you to remember this morning. Number one is out of. Number two is in. Three is not of. And four is into. So when you go out of this room today, they ask you, what was the message about? It says, Pastor was with us in grammar school today. When we read the scriptures, no matter how many times we've read it, the Holy Spirit breathes upon us as he has breathed upon the scripture. God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. The life principle in Adam was the Spirit of God, the breath of God. God breathed Adam into being. God breathed the scriptures into being in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And now God put his breath in us in John 3:3 and 3:5. And when the breath of God in us, that is the Spirit, is able to be separated from everything that is unholy. Remember that? In 2 Corinthians 7:1. Then the breath of God in the believer, that is the human spirit that is made alive or regenerated through the new birth, draws from the book which is breathed by God. And that person has the ability to enter into true form of worship. God has decreed that sinners redeemed by the blood of Christ would be given an opportunity to be brought into his presence. First of all, to be worshippers. Think about that today. Therefore, before we can understand workmanship, we must understand worship. Jesus said, those that worship me in John 4, 23 and 24 must worship me in spirit and truth. For such worshippers the Father seeks. But he also did say in the book of Ephesians in the second chapter, in the 10th verse of the Apostle Paul, we are his workmanship, created unto good works which God had preordained or foreordained before the foundations of the world, so that we would walk in them. Now many are preoccupied with the workmanship aspect of God's plan. They are not preoccupied with the one they have to worship in it. We come together in committees to plan. Nothing wrong in it. But we do not come together to pray. So planning takes precedence over what? How to build a building takes precedence over the one that will indwell it. Isn't it? Setting up the house and decorating it takes precedence over the guests that will come that you have invited. As long as they come and look around and say, what a beautiful house you have, it doesn't matter what we give them to eat when they come. And when Jesus came, he kind of recognized in Israel that the one that indwells the house was not acknowledged. But they were boasting about the house that the one that was supposed to indwell them gave them. So imagine the second person in the Trinity, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who gave them the word and the law, correct? He was instrumental. And he is there with them, right? In John chapter 2 and Matthew 21. And they are then saying, Jesus, you look at this temple? And Jesus is saying, mm-hmm. It took 40 years to build it in that sense, or Herod, the way he kind of did it up. And Jesus is very impressed by it. Pastor Benny, sit down, forget about them. Sit down, don't worry about it. Those guys are worshiping God in their own language there. Jesus is looking at the temple saying, I mean, you know what? Guys, let's all get together. We and the temple, take a picture. Because when I go to my Father in heaven, I have to present it. For there is nothing like this on the earth anyway. You know, people have not gone to the Taj Mahal today, but they've taken a picture behind the Taj Mahal because of the technology, and they have printed it, and they tell people, see, in the album, you have been to the Taj? I've been to the Taj. How was it? It's wonderful. But a person that has actually gone there can question, grill these guys about if they really went to the Taj, if they really want to. Because I am not interrogated as a believer in my relationship with God, I allow myself to pass off in my life as being allowed to live permissibly with God. God is not interested in what is above the surface. God is interested in what is going on below. Because if he does not deal with that which is below, there will be no manifestation above. That is why Jesus Christ is not constrained by enlisting the cream of the crop. He is interested in the hearts of people that are prepared, that recognize what it means to be placed on the foundation of who he is, so that the life that is derived from that foundation can be made manifested. That life that is on the foundation is not trying to manufacture that life, but that life that is on that foundation manifests that life. There is the written word, and then there is the living word. There is the written epistle of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3, and then there is the living epistles. The body of Christ and members in particular are living, what? Epistles. So you quote scriptures, person comes, how do you know all these things? You can show it to them in the Bible, but the thing is, it is not just written in the Bible, it is also written in our hearts. In the Old Testament, it was written on tablets of stone. In the New Testament, one of the 17 plus characteristics of the Old and the New in 2 Corinthians 3, you can look into it. Old and New. So 17 specific different characteristics, maybe more. That which is written on stone and that which is written on our hearts. Now imagine if you went to a memorial and it was of stone and you looked into it and you were amazed at its sculpture, and all of a sudden that piece of sculpture became animated. And just the person that was on marble just stepped out into human life. You wouldn't be there saying, "How do you do, sir?" You know, you would just flee. Because something that was of stone or something became animated. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he appeared to his disciples didn't say, "Praise the Lord, he's risen." No. He had to show with many convincing signs and proofs, I don't know what he did to show them, that he actually rose from the, even though the promise of the resurrection was something that he communicated, they were not able to comprehend, for such a thing had never really happened before. Therefore, God wants to manifest himself through us in ways that people have not comprehended it before. We must be excited with the possibility of God wanting to manifest himself through us. We must be excited with it. We must not shy away from the reality of things in this life or live in denial of them. For we must allow these realities in life that we are confronted with, we must allow them to be dealt with in the light of God manifesting himself through us. That is why the world cannot invite the church at its table. In Hebrews chapter 13, we have an altar. We have an altar that they that partake of at the tabernacle have no right to eat. Speaking of the old and the new, we have an altar that, and those that participate at the tabernacle have no right to eat. Calvary, the cross, became the dividing line. In terms of that which was built on the foundation, other than the foundation that God has laid. That foundation, Israel, that cornerstone, Israel, rejected. That cornerstone, Israel, rejected. They were supposed to be a nation that was holy and separated unto the Lord, but they rejected the very stone or the foundation stone on which they could be placed so as to derive their life from. Therefore, they were removed from that place of privilege, and the promises and the purposes of God towards that nation are postponed to a yet time in the future, and now there is a new entity called the church, and the church is now placed on that foundation, which is the cornerstone, and that, and the church of Jesus Christ, which is made up of true believers, born again Christians, are placed on that foundation and share the same life of that foundation. So that life that is in the cornerstone is now possessed by the church, and in Ephesians 1, that life is a life that is ascended life. That life is a life that you have as you are in Ephesians 1, you have ascended. In Ephesians 2, you are what? Seated. Now Jesus Christ, when he's speaking in the Gospels, and he's, you know, he knows that the the Apostle Paul is going to write these epistles. He knows all that. That is in the, his prophetic mind. But he's in seed form. I want to read and close. In seed form, he is saying some things. And I want you to look into it. This has happened to every one of us from the viewpoint. I mean, this is something that God has determined for us from the viewpoint of opposition. But this is not something that every believer understands. Therefore, it is in the realm of understanding that you and I can make some kingdom decisions in this life. It is not about who I am. It is not about my IQ. It is not about my genetics. It's not about my present condition in this life. It's not about my past. It's not about my present. It's not about my future. It's not about my filial associations in my family. It's not about my accomplishments, my skill. No, this has nothing to do with that. Those are all things that God has given. One of the key things in John 17 is given. All that the Father has given me, I have given. The key word is given there. But I want to show you something today. A life can be completely and totally transformed. A life can be totally brought into a relationship with God that is so can be radically transformed because God has said it in His Word, not because I have the ability to do it. The ability to do comes after the willingness to believe. Once there is the willingness to believe, then there is the ability to do. Once there is the worship, after that is the workmanship. So God has the chisel in His hand, correct? He has the... And He's trying to find a raw piece of marble on which He can do His masterpiece. And to His kind of surprise, these pieces of marble, which are, you know, material in Himself, become animated and move away from God. God, the creator of the universe, says, I can't believe that matter is actually moving without my help. In an analogy, even though it is a weak one, God is trying to find a vessel. He's trying to give form to a vessel. He is the potter. We are the clay. And He's trying to fashion the vessel in His likeness. In Jeremiah 18 and 19, it speaks about it. But as He's fashioning the vessel is kind of giving directions to God's hand. And God looking, wondering, what's going on here? Because the believer has been, by virtue of the fall, he, number one, misinterprets, and number two, he misunderstands. He misinterprets and he misunderstands. If he is understanding the foundation on which God is holy in terms of His essence, then he will recognize that God will fashion him in such a way so as to cause him to discern the things in his life that will interfere which will interfere in any shape, way, or form, so as to rob him of his enjoyment as he is confined into that place where he's put upon that foundation. Does a person's boss at work, if he's a man, when somebody at work imposes upon a person, the husband who's at work, in such a way where the demand placed upon his life is of such a nature, does that husband come back and looks at his wife in the house as he looks at his boss at work? Yes. How? He removes his frustration on the boss, on his wife. He expects his wife to be the boss in the house. This is not happening with people in the church. This is an illustration. But the wife, because she has derived her essence from being on the foundation, discerns that my husband is not a hit, but he is hit. You know, hit meaning 25-year jubilee. He is not a hit, but he is. So now she has to find a way to make him a hit from being hit. These are genuine illustrations. You won't get them in the 40,000 illustrations at OMN, or you won't get it. She is placed, and vice versa, by the way. She, when a person derives his identity from being on the foundation that shares in his essence, self-life is not given an opportunity to interfere in that life that is being derived, because they have been placed on the right foundation. Which means what? That person, not in some manner or form, in relationship to only being in a particular place, what we call church, is actually worshiping God for giving them an opportunity to communicate this life to someone that doesn't deserve it. God looks at it from his viewpoint and considers that reasonable service in Romans 12, 1 and 2 to be an expression of worship. So we take the verse Romans 12, 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you may know what the will of God is, holy, acceptable. You're memorizing God. So you think like, oh my God, God is bringing me to an altar. I have to lay flat. Then I look at Abraham taking the knife on Isaac, and I'm looking at all these things, and oh my God, this is bearable, this is the plan of God. No, see, that is all. That's not it. Everything that relates to my relationship with God is based on what Christ has done for me through the cross. Our worship is nothing but our comprehension of the value that is ascribed to us as a result of that work. Now, you have jewels, right? A chain, a woman wears a chain, right? Gold chain. Say by chance the gold chain falls somewhere and she puts her hand and recognizes the chain that it fell. Now this is the thing. It doesn't have to be a gold chain for her to spend 8 or 9 nights in depression. How do you know that? Prophecy. Is someone going to lose it in this church? Maybe. The value is in the chain, correct? But its value could also be based on the one that gave it to her. That may not have value, but that is my inheritance. It is the purpose of the enemy to counterfeit the product at the expense of what? Concealing the inheritance. It is the enemy's plan, the devil's plan, to counterfeit the product and conceal its inheritance. For if the inheritance aspect is lost, then the product can be duplicated by technology. I have an iPhone, Apple, or say I have an iPhone, pomegranate, or I have an iPhone, banana, whatever you call it. If another phone company has the same features and can sell it for less than that, why would I want to pay so much of money, unless it is there for a particular purpose, prestige, or whatever it is, because it serves the same, in one sense, it's the same purpose. But you know what? When the thief comes, the thief doesn't want to go for the duplicate. The thief brings in the duplicate to take the original. And the believer is not, because he is not on that foundation experientially, he is positionally, he is in Christ. Remember that we already built a precept, steps out of line temporarily because he somehow finds this new product to be fascinating to the human eye. If he can get me to misinterpret and misunderstand, then I start looking at the foundation on which I am that can only give me the right inheritance, and I step outside of that foundation very temporarily because there is a measure of fascination that is involved in being drawn into something that is a counterfeit, because there is a definite measure of fascination through its power of, number one, suggestion, and number two, of influence. Therefore, God in worship has given us two things that would deal with the fascination of suggestion and the fascination of influence. It is the Word and the Spirit. Those that worship me was worship me in spirit and in truth. Anything that comes against that, against it, the suggestion, the fascination that is presented before my eyes through suggestion and influence is immediately counteracted by the Word and the Spirit, so as to not get me out of that foundation on which I am placed to check something else which is not the foundation on things that can be built. So if that happens to me, then I start beginning to build on a structure that will be at some point of time moved in my life. Because all the things that God wants to shake, he will shake, and only the things that God wants to keep, he will keep. So Jesus did say that in Matthew chapter 7. There are two ways, and there are two, what? Foundation stone, and there are two trees. He's saying that very clearly. Now, to close, to end, finito, samapt. And for the first time in the last 2 minutes, everyone was spiritually quickened because he's going to end the message. I'll close with these verses. Jesus looked at his disciples. One was eternally gone. He was the son of destruction. Judas Iscariot was never saved. So, you know, don't get sentimental with him. He is, in Acts chapter 1, in his compartment in hell. There's a specific compartment in hell. He's in one of those compartments. He's there. Okay? The rest of them are going to turn the world upside down with the Apostle Paul. And Jesus Christ is praying. He's praying to his... None of the prayers that Jesus Christ prays to the Father, and none of the prayers that Jesus Christ puts his seal on as we pray, will be unanswered. Therefore, your role as a person to be connected to God on that foundation is vitally important. John 17, verse 6. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. They have kept your word. Number one, we were in the hands of the Father. And were given as a result of God's foreknowledge of us as believers to the Son. Is that clear? As a part of God's foreknowledge of 1:4 and 5 of Ephesians and 8:28, 1 Peter 1:20, and 1 Thessalonians 1:4, as a part of God's foreordination or foreknowledge, because of what Christ would accomplish through the cross, God gave those that would believe in his Son to Christ. This happened before the foundations of the world. So you and I were given by the Father to the Son before the foundations of the world. But the thing that The beautiful thing that happened is we were taken out of the world. Out of the world. 17:6. Out of. You are what? You and I, so even though we are living in the world, we don't have for a foundation the world. We have for the foundation the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, on which we have been placed. Even though we have to make a living in this world, we do not derive our life from making a living. We derive our life from Him as we make a living. One, clear, is it? Out of, say. Out of. Number two, second, don't say number two, second one. The second one, John 17, verse 11. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. Now Jesus is, as He's praying, disciples saying, what is He talking about? He's right here. At no point of time was Jesus Christ in the world in that sense. In what sense? He lived for 33 years of His life in this world, but as He lived in this world, He was living in such a way that He was manifesting another kingdom, and He was manifesting the life that He had with His Father. So He's saying here, I'm closing, I'm no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to You, Holy Father, keep them in Your name, the name which You have given Me, that they may be one, even as. So they are in the world. But as we are in the world, he's asking the Father to keep us. There are two words used. One is keeping and one is guarding. When it comes to keeping, the word is to keep with the point of nurturing. Provide for. But when it comes to guarding, it is meaning there is the possibility of an intruder coming in, and therefore they need special protection. There is a filial relationship. When I'm in the home, there's a filial relationship. You know, the kids are in the house. We're not going there with our guns and knives and all with the kids all around. No? But when they go out, you might need something to protect them with in case there's danger. Keeping. So what? Out of the world? They're not of the world. Out. We are out of. You've given them to Me. Out. But they are also in. And therefore they need to be provided for, and they need to be protected. So there's provision and there is protection. This is God in our lives. This is by just being saved and being brought into the family of God. This is just being brought into and placed on a foundation. This is me receiving an inheritance. But the enemy has a perfect counterfeit from his viewpoint to get me to substitute that which God has given to me in design for something that He has counterfeited in this life. And many people, because of not understanding it, are deceived into his philosophy. The third point is in John 17:14. I have given them Your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as out of, in, third, not of. Hey, wait a minute here. Wait a minute here. Maga, maga, wait here. Or some of our guys say, talai, talai, whatever. I'm learning many words. Are we to accommodate the not ofs in our life so as to settle in, so as to not pledge allegiance to the out of? Let me say it again. Are we as believers to negate the not of, so as to settle in and bring dishonor to the out of? No, it is not possible, because we have not just been sanctified or set apart in our position only, we have also been sanctified in our affections. That means God does not want His love for me
and my love for him to be prostituted with even the with the seeming counterfeit that comes and brings it into par with God's love. You understand? Brings it into par with God's love. Therefore, suffering becomes a very important ingredient in my relationship with God that must produce obedience, so that I will be protected from what? From not being deceived into being taken from one foundation and brought into the next. If I marry this person, after marriage they'll change. After marriage you are transformed, metamorphosis. If I marry this person, after I marry, they might become a believer. Ultimately, that's what happens. That's what counts, not happens, counts. So I hear these conversations time and time again. After some time, you get tired of it, and you have to not counsel people anymore. You have to allow them to make their own decisions, because they think that God is a fool. That God did not really mean what he said in his word. That is what Paul and Timothy and Peter and John got up one day from their bed, and they ate a lot of hummus and kabus and radish and all, and they basically wrote the Bible. Then they go to these libraries, and then they start looking at books. First they should look at sanctification, calling and all this. Now they're looking at if the Bible is really true. Wow, that seems incredible. The second coming, myth or reality? Oh, that's interesting. Now I start being available to be drawn away from, rather than be in a place where I have the things given to me become operational in my life of John 17. You know what? Because of God's mercy, the things that are given to me can never be taken from me. But I can forfeit eternal privileges from eternity's viewpoint, and I can forfeit an opportunity to enjoy life and communion with God in this life. And I cannot manufacture that life superficially if I don't have it. Let me say it again. I cannot manufacture that life if I don't have it. Either I have it or I don't. And when a person lives deceitfully, they will try to enter into a lifestyle that tries to manifest that life, but they never possess it. Jesus Christ said, I have manifested your name. He didn't say, I manufactured your name. You can manufacture, quote all the Bible verses you want. You manufacture it. It is still true. The word is still true. He said, I've manifested. I have manifested. That is a life. That is a life that is very often not spoken about, but that is a life that is lived. The last one in John 17, 18. And this is where we come into the picture. And what is it? As you sent me into the world, I have what? Into. But I'm, Jesus, what do you mean you're sending me into the world? I already am in it. Of course, you are in it, but you're not. Huh? You're not of it. A long time ago, in eternity past, before you were even born, you were handed over by the Father to me as a gift in the foreknowledge of God. But you have a birth date with the Bangalore municipality certificate. You need that for admission, just in case. You can't go to them and say, I've come from my Father who's above. You won't get admission in school. So you have to show that birth certificate. So you're in the world. For all practical purposes, you need your PAN card, your Aadhaar card, and your eternal security card. In the world. Third, I want to make my foreknowledge a reality, so at some point of time, I have to give you an experiential understanding of what? Not of, in, and? What's the third one? Huh? Not of the? I understand you like 007 movies. 007, not 777. All those things, but God, you know, you can't take them from me. God is saying, I'm not taking them from you. I'm giving you something you can never have. Christianity is not subtraction only. It's what is it? It's abundant addition. We say, no, first edition, second edition, third edition, this is abundant. And because we have that which can never be given to us or we can never manufacture, now God says, okay, now what I'm going to do is this. Because you have been placed on the foundation, because you share the same life that is in the foundation, 1 Peter 2:7, you share the same life. Now I have no problem from placing you in an environment where everything around you is a perfect counterfeit of who I am and all the things that I've done, and I want you to manifest the life that you have as a virtue of you being placed on that foundation. So you go to work, or you're a businessman, or you're whatever it is, and everyone there lives deceitfully. You know, you don't say, if you can't beat them, join them. No, you can't say. I'm sorry, you can't say. You are on a different, you are playing in a different league. It's not C tier, B tier, A tier, and then Super League. You are in the Super League stuff. And we are there because we have been placed on a unique foundation. That foundation has an inheritance. And if there's one thing that the enemy wants to come and take away from us, is our inheritance as a result of it being placed on that foundation. Why is it that I'm totally dead against methodology that roams around in Christendom around here, that is against the principle of being on the right foundation? Do you know that when we had trials and transitions in our life before in this ministry, it was all about, it was not that no people not believing in the Lord. No. It was be removed from the foundation on which you have received your inheritance. You understand what I'm saying? So in 1 Kings 21, who is the gentleman in 1 Kings 21? Naboth. Who is it? Ahab said, give me your plot because mine is 30, 40. I want 60, 80 so I can have a garden. Naboth said, it belongs to my fathers. I can't give it to you. 1 Kings 21. So Ahab goes. Jezebel comes. Ahab is wearing the sari. Jezebel is three-piece suit. What's going on here? What's wrong, Naboth? What's wrong, Ahab? Naboth. Oh, that's it, huh? Why is there trouble? Just bring two witnesses, lie, say that he's lying. You're the king, knock off his head. Did she know that her blood was going to be licked by dogs in the chariot? In 2 Kings, when you read chapter 9, did she know that when she took Naboth off? Naboth gave his life for not willing to serve. I would have said, to forget with this 30-40 plot here, it's my life. He said, this is the inheritance of my fathers. When the affections of the heart are in the hand of God, that is the worship that God seeks for. Remember, this is sinner saved by, but when we are on the right foundation and we derive the life from Him. So Israel, I the Lord thy God am holy. Therefore, I have separated you as a people. I have taken you from among the people and I have separated you from myself so that you can manifest my name to the nations. manifest my name to the nations. But Israel said, no, we don't want to be, we don't want you to have to be king over us like all the other nations. We also want a king like other nations. We don't want you to be Samuel, Buddha, go. We want a person who's like Mr. Universe. We don't want Samuel. Really? And so, wow. We don't want spirit-filled people leading. We want professional people. Doesn't matter if they're spirit-filled or not leading. Now, professionalism is important, but you take away the spirituality from it and it's gone. And so, out of, in, not of, and to. Just as the Father has sent me into the, I sent you. That sending in 1718 is based on 1722, the authority that the Son has from the Father. That authority in 11:27 of Matthew that the Son has from the Father is the authority that He has given you and me as a believer priest. And that is the privilege you and I have to bring others into that place where they would recognize what that relationship with God really means. Father, we thank you. Worship team, can you sing one song before we close? We thank you for this morning. Help us to understand our lives, our calling, our relationships, our fellowships, our conversation, our conduct in this life, that you have manifested your name, you have given it to us, and we here can also manifest what you have given to us. Help us to understand that we are unique as a people. We are called unique. Idios in the Greek means actually the way people sometimes say stupid or peculiar people. We are your peculiar treasure as people. And that is why we love people in this world, because they are created in God's image, lost by nature, and we have the privilege of the gospel of bringing them into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've never believed in Christ, say, Jesus, save me, forgive me. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you shed your blood for me. You say that in the quietness of your soul. The Bible says you become my child, the child of God. I write your name in heaven in a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. You are eternally forgiven. And you are eternally forgiven. You say that in your heart by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Let's all sing one last song and let's dismiss. And give the Lord a praise, a shout. Shake your neighbor's hand. Hallelujah. Pray for the conference. Pastor Shibeli, we're going to have a great time.